series that takes off from where we were just at for the last number of weeks. We finished up a series. If you haven't had a chance to listen to those messages, and I'm so grateful for Ryan Cross, our youth pastor, who communicated last week. Such a good word. I actually had one of my friends text me, and they're like, man, I showed up, and I was like, oh, you're not there. And then like, my socks got rocked because of what Cross had to say, and I'm so grateful for that. And I know it's so confusing. There's so many Ryans. It's all right. Just go. If you just say Ryan, you say all of us, so it's great, or at least a few of us anyways. But we have been in that series, God with Us, and I believe that the transition from out of that is realizing that not only is God with us, but that He wants to move through us. And so I want to spend the next number of weeks just unpacking and unfolding this idea of God through us. Because I believe that it's in that place that we truly discover who we were really meant to be. That's why Jesus spent so much time trying to tell His disciples, I will never leave you. Because out of that place of security with Him and knowing that He's for me and that I'm in a safe place, there can be this release of knowing who I was meant to be and what I was called to do. There's this verse in Proverbs that says it like this. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, direct your child into the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. The New King James says, train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. It's not just the concept of trying to train our children in being a Christian. The greater understanding of that passage is the way is actually their identity. So if we help our children discover who they are, when they get older, they won't depart from it. And that idea of identity, actually, God started in the origination of the garden, where you see this beautiful place where God established Himself as the source. And out of that source, there came this beautiful function of what God intended man to do. So I believe that identity has two parts to it. The first one is relationship. And the second is function. Without those two together, identity becomes weird. Because relationship without function is pride. And then function without relationship becomes driven. And so that you realize, as God in the garden created man, and He wanted to help man understand His true identity. So what did He do? He started with Himself as the source. I am the one you have relationship with. And when you have relationship with Me, out of that relationship comes the identification of who you are. Right relationship changes everything. It's why when the writer of Proverbs starts off with parents, train your children in who they are. Show them in that environment of trust and security and relationship. You see, because when relationship is broken, it causes us as individuals to go find our identity somewhere else. And that identity cannot just be without function. And so it's not just telling our kids that they're the best, that they're wonderful, that they're just so incredible. And I know those kids at school don't like you, but you are special, little tiger. Because if we don't teach our children how to act, and we just try to tell them what they should think about themselves, what we create is an American Idol generation, where they show up and they sing for the America, and because their mama told them that they were the best singer on the planet, and they sing so bad, and then they don't understand why nobody likes them. And so then it's the judge's fault who's telling them the real truth. So it's not just about telling our kids that they're special, but we have to demonstrate of what that looks like as an outflow. You see, in Israel, there's a place called the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is a place where nothing can live. Now, what's interesting is lots of water flows into the Dead Sea, but there is no outflow from the Dead Sea. You see, without proper outflow, it gets weird. So God intended man for him to be the relationship giver, the source code, and then from that, it has to release through us so that it continually causes us to draw on him so that there's a greater release. So identity has two parts, relationship and function. I love the definition of function. It says an activity or purpose natural to or intended for a person or thing. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we come to the illustration of this guy by the name of Abraham. Abraham was what we call the originator of faith. He was kind of the first guy on the scene that kind of did something out of the unusual. He was the guy that God chose to build something out of him to bless all men. Originally, it became Israel, and then from Israel, we see that's where the Savior of all mankind came through. So Abraham is kind of a big deal to us in the church. And in chapter 12 in Genesis, it's where God first kind of talks to Abraham about this journey he's about to take him on. So look what it says. It says, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you." It's an interesting passage as I feel like what God is saying, and it kind of gives an illustration this morning of my point of identity, is what's the first aspect of identity that God begins to communicate to Abraham? That there needs to be a new source code. For all of you programmers out there. There needs to be a new source code because the source code that you've had as far as your input has been giving you the wrong input, which has not allowed you to function properly of the way I intended for you to be. So I need myself to be the source. So he starts saying, I will, I will, I will. That where you used to draw your identity from, your circumstances, maybe your family or where you've been or what you thought your life was supposed to be like, that's not what I want you to draw from anymore. Which actually frees us up to be something that we didn't even know we could. Maybe you come from a long line of addiction. Maybe you come from a long line of abuse. Maybe you come from a long line of divorce. But you can actually stand in a new place because God becomes your new source code. And when he rewrites the code, what used to be does not have any authority anymore. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching my face off today. Give a man a week off and all of a sudden they're going to come with both barrels loaded. Leave your native country. Your identity has to be formed and fashioned through this new relationship. And what's interesting is out of that passage, three things begin to develop. That we begin to see what walking in real identity does. When you walk in your new God-given identity, there's confidence. There's favor. And then we have the ability to lift the circumstance of wherever we're at. That's exactly what God says I will do as your new identity giver. When you begin to walk in this new identity, you will find that there is a newfound confidence. Not an arrogance, but a confidence. A confidence to walk in who God made you to be. Then there's this favor that stuff just works out because you're not hitched to an old family tradition and heritage that says you'll never amount to anything. God says, I've got a future and a plan for you. So that's why we have to continue this relationship, right? Because we need the new source code to be continually rewritten because we like to go back to the old record and play it because it's nostalgic. It just sounds right. It's got that little... And we're like, oh, that's so wonderful. No, when CDs came out, we thought the world had changed. Who wants to go back to records? Like, we could hear the purity of the sound, and now it's nostalgic. Man, I just want to hear that. Like, what? Yeah, the warps in the record create some sweetness in the sound. No! Digital music is where it's at. I'm just messing with you. I mean, if you love records, that's okay. You're just weird. But look at how Paul says in Romans 12, how he kind of breaks this down. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability, then do it well. So relationship, true identity has Him as the source code, and then the signature code is that function. That we begin to understand the way God wants us to begin to walk and talk. And I'll give this illustration. You see, it didn't just end with Abraham being told he's going to be the man. Because if it just ended there and Abraham just walked around just blessed and favored and everything worked out for him and he had babies and those babies had babies and then Jesus came and Abraham's the hero of the story. Because that's not real life. And so Abraham had to walk this new relationship and identity out. And what I love about this is he comes to a place where he has to understand what that function looks like. Genesis chapter 18 becomes the pivotal point in Abraham. And I guess I'm trying to understand a generation that thinks that they're just that everything should just work out for them or that every job that they walk into, they should get the best. Because identity is not just having the best. Identity is also understanding that you can be in any moment and still function in what God has created you to be. So you can be in strange places. Places that you didn't really want to be or even like. But you can discover that God's got something beautiful for you in that moment. Let's just go back to this, and then I'm going to illustrate this point with a hammer and a nail and a piece of wood. God comes to Abraham in chapter 18, verse 17. He says, should I hide my plan from Abraham? The Lord asked. Because depending on Abraham's function, in other words, the way he understands what he's supposed to do will determine how he's going to respond to my plan. Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him, and I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their family to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is just and right. So in other words, God begins to indicate that this idea of identity is we as parents relay to our children who they are, but also what the function of who they are begins to come out of them. And so God begins to reveal his plan to Abraham. Now, Abraham is about to be a very blessed man. God has just told him he's going to hook him up. So from that, as the last conversation he has with God, God shows up and says, there's this town just right down the road called Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to destroy it. And if I was Abraham and I knew that I had a promised child, only one at the time, I don't want anything bad to happen to my baby. So if there's a bad town, wipe them off the face of the planet. That would have been my response. If God comes to me and says, this is what I'm about to do, I'm like, yeah, they deserve it. They're bad. And I got to build a wall around my baby. Because my baby has to be protected because the evil out there is bad, real bad. And they might not be able to handle that badness, and they might be sucked in by the badness. And the badness is like that really shiny light that draws them in. But you see, if you don't really understand true identity, because you see, identity is when you truly know who you are and what you are meant to do, you're not drawn by false stuff. So what we've done as a church in our past is that we've We've built walls around ourselves as a church, and we've been fearful of the world and that dark, dark world out there. And the devil is so big, and God is so small, and we're just going to barely survive. And don't let your children go to public schools, because they'll be sucked into the ways of the world. But if we truly teach our children who they are, they won't depart from it when they're not around you. So God unfolds this moment where he begins to reveal what he wants to do, I believe, as a test to see if Abraham will actually walk in his God-given function of who he's supposed to be. Not as just the blessed dude, not as just the head and not the tail, but as someone that God wants to stand in the gap for those that don't know. So Abraham stands before God, and God's like, yeah, it's bad. It's actually so bad that if I don't cut it off, it's going to get worse, and I can't imagine it being worse. And so Abraham stands there, and he says, Lord, I got one thing I got to talk to you about. He begins to leverage his relationship for people. Identity is relationship and function. Now here's where we get it wrong. We spend so much time believing that the function is singular. So I am hammer. Therefore, every time I see somebody, I am hammer. And that's the only function that we believe. But I believe that God, because relationship is not defined just one way, he is big. So then function is related to who we're around and what God wants to do. So the function may change. We're so hell-bent on this is who I am as far as the function. Well, I'm just a prophecy guy. Or I'm moving this gift. This is my gift. And so every time we get around people, we're just like this. And everybody's like, I don't know if I like that person. But aren't we thankful to God that he relates to us in moments that we need him different than we did last week or in the future? That God is relatable and it's a function of relationship rather than a structure of religion? And so therefore, function is being available for what the people need, not just what you like to do. Which means it creates God to be something big in your life. He'll give you what you need when you need it. Well, he's my provider. He wants me to be wealthy and rich and add no sorrow to it. And if that was the case and all Abraham thought about, he would have never realized that God actually wanted him to stand in the gap for a group of people. He'd be like, yeah, Lord, bring the fire, and I'm going to walk over there, and I'm going to pick up handfuls on purpose. The Lord has blessed me. Yes, their stupidity has become my blessing. Thank you, Lord. But because I understand my identity is based on relationship, and I see what God is doing in and through me, and he might be relaying to me in a unique season that all of a sudden I realize, you know what? This nail doesn't need me to drive it. This nail needs me to help pry it out. So Abraham stands in the gap and he goes, God, what about 50? 50 righteous, would you hold it? And God's like, wow, who are you? Like, I thought it was going to be a little different. It's like when you watch those shows and you see someone who sings and they take the criticism and it's like refreshing. They're like, thank you for telling me I suck. Maybe I should go get some lessons. And you're like, wow, someone's finally honest about their ability. And so Abraham stands in there and he goes, God, how about 40? God's like, yeah, I mean, I'm just, I don't mean to step my boundaries with you, but how about 30? God's like, yeah. I got one more. Just going to make sure we can cover all the bases, Lord, because I realize my function now is to stand in the gap of people that don't know. And the most beautiful place of true identity is discovering that we were all called to be intercessors. The word intercessor means the person that stands in the gap for those who are around them. But realizing that standing in the gap is not more about me, it's more about them. So Lord, how do you want me to be so that I can help them? So you need me to be bold with you? I'm a little nervous. But you see, when God begins to unfold his plan towards you and you begin to see that the relationship was actually designed so that the function can reach people. And then it leaves it open to whatever those that God has put you around need at the moment. Right. Paul says, take a healthy look at yourself. Don't just be concerned about your gifts. That's not your identity. That's just what the Holy Spirit gives. Right. When those around you need it, it's called a gift.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
But we want to like put our stake in it and go, this is who I am. No, who you are is a child of God who's in an ever-changing relationship with him. And what I mean by that changing is that he relates to you in different seasons at what you need and who you are. God, let me stand in the gap for people. Relationship, function is what identity was built upon. Look at this as I close in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. Why should I then? If he doesn't, I can't. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation so that we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead with people, come back to God. We're gonna be in a journey together. And my prayer is by the end of this that you see how big God is. And that relationship, as expansive as it is, he can give you whatever you need to reach those that are around you so you can find your place in strange places and go, God, why am I really here? I'll give you an example. My daughter is stepping into this place that God has called her to be, and she went into this interview that she had been counting on, and really we kind of moved everything for her to be a part of this interview, and she was supposed to be here for a while and be with her friends, and she was really looking forward to having a party with them, and we had to send her back to LA just really quickly, and it was hard. It was hard on all of us because we just got her back, and there was this interview that she needed to be a part of, and because there was so much emotional, like, strain to get this moment to happen, that you had these expectations on this moment, right? Like, this moment is going to change everything. And so she walked into the interview, and the individual was a little brass and kind of distant, and it didn't really feel like the interviews that she'd had before. And And I think before it would have derailed her. But she grabbed a hold of something that I'm so proud of, and it's what I was talking about earlier with train up a child in their way, and when they're by themselves, they won't depart from it. She realized that in her identity, it's not about her being whatever, because she is already whatever. She doesn't need someone to affirm her whatever. She's got it, so she doesn't have to prove it. Which gave her the ability to realize, and she called me on the phone. She goes, "Dad, if I flew back to LA just so that I could make that woman's day," she goes, "I made the whole thing about how I could help that lady." Who are you? Because I would have been mad and walked out and found ways to be mean, I guess. But you're greater than me. Don't you love it when your kids are greater than you? Whew, thank God. Right? Like every parent's like, yes. What I loved about that moment, and I was so proud of her, is that she realized that, and it's what Jesus did. In Philippians, Paul says that Jesus, who being God, did not consider equality with God something to hang on to, but took the very nature of a servant. In other words, he knew his identity based on his relationship with the Father. So he didn't have to always try to prove it, because he knew who he was because his relationship was right, which allowed him to function differently depending on the people that he was around and with. So Peter, he might be a little bit harder with, but the woman at the well, he was gentle with. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so this morning, I believe that as we go on this journey, that God's going to unpack some beautiful things for you, and we're going to watch just as Candy felt like the Lord was saying to her, Candy, raise your hand, stand up. Everyone needs to see who you are, because I'm so proud of you. Come on. This gal, Big Love, changed many people's lives because she was willing to do something out of her world and out of her comfort and go, God, I believe you want to do something big. And so many people came together and showed off their God-given expression to move in people's lives. You see, I think easily Candy could have gone, well, really the greatest expression is when I get to be on stage and I get to sing in front of my church. That's awesome, but that's not the pinnacle. The pinnacle is continuing to be who God wants you to be wherever you are. And not getting stuck on, well, I'm just the hammer. Sometimes people need a little bit of this. Sometimes they need a little bit of this. No, I'm just kidding. Let me pray for us today, because I believe that God wants to rewrite the topography of who we are. This is expression, church. It's everyone is given a God-given expression to show off who Jesus is, but that expression is not what we hold on to. It's Jesus that we hold on to. And we find that the expression may shift depending on the people that we're around, and we're willing to allow it to. And so God through us, it's gonna be like a mighty river that we get to just float on, a big giant inner tube. And we watch what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. Amen.